Hello and welcome to Elite Cadre, the general wargaming podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm Mike.
General wargaming?
Yeah, why not?
Subtle, like it.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think anybody noticed that you changed that. That's really good.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
I'm Kurt.
There we go. And we have a special guest this week.
He's not that special.
Well, he's pretty special. It's Mr. James Brown.
Good evening.
See, there he is. How are you this fine evening?
I'm all very good. I've just figured out how to do this, so it's quite impressive. I'm now in the noughties.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit late, but, you know, we're getting there. So, well, we thought we'd have Mr. Brown on, not only to abuse Kurt, but to actually have a talk about an event we both went to recently. It was the Irish Masters. It was a two-day tournament in Ireland.
That's handy.
Well, yes. Yeah. I thought the name really kind of, it added to it.
Definitely lent itself to being in Ireland. Yes. Wise, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for the sensible.
Well, no. I mean, I don't think the crowd at the Irish Masters is the most sensible, hence why we went along.
I should go at some point. I really should.
Well, you bowled it this year.
Yeah, totally.
He's thrown down the gauntlet there, Kurt.
He's done that before. I don't rise that easy to these sort of things. Or to anything, really.
Well, you're that high, aren't you?
Not these days. I've cut down.
Oh, right, okay.
Moving on.
First one.
First of many.
Yes, there will be a lot of moving on, we fear, this episode.
Yes. So, James, being as you're the special guest, why did you want to go to the Irish Masters?
Because I wanted to see you lose man cards.
That's something that's happened before and will probably happen again.
Well, it is the colour of adrenaline. Now, last year when we went in 2013, it was one of the best tournaments I've been to. Just like knowing the Irish lads, Jerry, Kieran, Stu, and the other drunken so-and-sos, they are just top socially and really good gamers as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the last year, I mean, we didn't talk too much about it on the podcast. I don't think it might have been a minor mention of it, but it's now the second year that myself, James, and former host Nick Topper have been along. I think both years we have been there at exactly the wrong time, at the same time as a home rugby game, which is horrific to find accommodation during.
Are we over there when the part of Six Nations or something else?
It was really good. I can't big it up enough. I mean, yeah, we were there with the rugby, but it's the fact that the social, the pub on the Saturday night, Mike.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't think you could actually find a friendlier bunch of War Machine players, well, that certainly I've ever met, than you find at the Irish Masters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last year was, there were less last year, but this year it was more international because they'd done so much good carnage at the WTC.
Well, I mean, they did have some of the people they'd met at the WTC attending. I think was it Leaf? Life?
Leaf and Martin can't find a shower Hornacek.
Nice.
No, it's not nice. He used the
bead.
You know the.
Oh, yes, I remember that now.
Okay, you know, the bead days.
Asking Kieran why he had two showers in his bathroom.
What?
Yeah, he's got one for a bidet for the bottom bits, which is the one Martin used. And then he's got the one that's the normal one that's just like 2 foot to the left.
It's, I'm not sure the public ever needed to know that, but now they do, and they will feel enthralled for knowing it.
I think it needs to be out there because the Slovak needs some payback.
Well, he didn't win this year, of course, so, you know, he's already feeling down in the dumps.
No, I think he's just having a year off, to be honest with you. He's playing Mercs for a reason. He doesn't do anything without a reason, that lad.
Well, he could be playing them because they're a good faction.
It could be, or he just has got something bad and nasty planned for next year.
I mean, if he wanted to go for just the pure comedy value, he probably would be playing Minions.
Yay!
Yeah, or staying with Jerry.
That might entail death for someone.
Well, it wasn't Jerry again this year, was it?
James, I believe that Mr. Nolan had somewhat of a forfeit on the first day. Would you like to inform the boys and girls?
Why, yes, Michael.
What the bet was and what the payment ended up being?
Well, he basically said that Masters wouldn't sell out this year for the Irish Masters, and I said it would do, because I think we're at 38 last year. Was that right, Mike?
We got an odd number. It was 39.
I think
it was a weird number either way. There were buys, but it was kind of, yeah. Just for reference as well, saying that it's sort of 39 players. The hall where it takes place, it's one of the, it's Goldsmith Hall, Trinity College in Dublin. And it's a sort of a large ground floor with a sort of mezzanine level above. It's part of a convention, part of Leprechaun, which, by the way, is just one of the most wonderful names for a convention in Ireland. And it took up about half the ground floor last year. We went in again this year and thought, oh, well, it's taken up more players, but it seems to be the same amount of space. Then we realised they'd actually expanded into the cafe next door and were filling that as well. But no, continue with your story on the bet.
So anyway, Jerry's decided to put the world to rights and agree with me for playing hardcore for beginners, which I think is a fair point. Norbert will confirm that because he did make a judge call on that. But on the Saturday night, we decided to say that we were a little bit tipsy. I said it would sell out at 64. Jerry said it wouldn't. We made a shake on it. So I was going to get him into something a bit nicer, but I thought the Gatorman costume from the food machine from last year that hadn't been washed would be an appropriate punishment.
No.
Now, if anyone hasn't seen this, I haven't really publicised the photo because, you know, there's a certain level of decorum to my Twitter feed. But yes, it was a wonderful gator onesie, complete with a kind of, well, the head of the gator as a hood that you could kind of fold down and talk to mid-game.
Okay, I'm scared now.
Well, he's getting advice off the gator man, of course, you know.
It works, that's the thing. I mean, it threw one of our all-stars totally off his game when I had a conversation mid-game with him at Food Machine. And Jerry, God bless him, he just put it straight on. He was a little bit, well, no, he was sober, but, you know, he just put it straight on.
I can't begin to imagine how warm a Gatorman onesie would have been in that hall.
Yeah, but the other thing was that he got rid of the suit, didn't he?
He did. He passed it on to, I can't remember, was it someone who beat him or someone who lost to him? Or
no, he lost, it was Declan, and he lost all day and the Sunday as well.
So it ended up almost being the wooden spoon. Although I will admit, it was more of a comfortable or snug fit on him than it was on Jerry. He did eventually manage to get in there after he'd reminded him you have to take off your shoes. But it was rather impressive to see, you know, a full-grown man in a gator man onesie. It was.
Yeah, he was packing a fine pair of budgie smugglers, let's put it that way. Yeah, Declan's not the most smallest chap in the world, and yeah, that was spray on skin tight. But now the as you said, the venue is really good. I mean, Kieran measured out the tables and gave Stu a massive heart attack when he measured them at 5 foot instead of 4 foot. And on the Saturday, like, Stu gets informed like 30 minutes to go, yeah, we haven't got enough tables. And I mean, I've never seen a man's face just drop into, oh, how are we going to get this done? But kudos to him, he didn't even faze him, he just got on with it, didn't he, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the attitude. It's like, well, no sense moaning. Let's get it done.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, by round one, which, okay, it started a little late. To be honest, I don't think anyone cared because we got to stand around having a bit of a natter beforehand, which is always pretty good at events like that. And I think this year as well, made even better by such a good international turnout.
I mean, we were there, weren't we? So that's the main thing.
Well, absolutely. You know, the main event was there. They couldn't start without us. But another sort of, you'd got the Irish lads and from all over Ireland, which is good for a start. And then you'd got a lot of us from the UK. So you'd got Scotland represented, you got England. I don't think the Welsh didn't go in the end.
Yeah, they bottled it again, didn't they? Second year on the bounce.
I have no further comment to make.
Why not?
Norbert can allegedly represent the US, but I don't know at this point because he seems to keep hopping around from country to country and not staying anywhere far too long.
Kurt, did you just notice something?
What was that?
I didn't get Mike to give a confirmed answer there. Did you notice that?
No, he didn't give it away. That's not really obvious.
How dare you claim I'm evasive? We also had, was it the Swedes as well? Quite a few of those.
Yeah, my first game was against David. Totally brilliant chap to play against. Really nice and polite and a good crack as well, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no, I did play a couple of the Swedish fellas, and that they were, you know, good, solid games. Apart from the first one, where I think I kind of rolled over and died in front of him. Genuinely a good player. I can't remember his name for the life of me, unfortunately. But I played Peace Orchard very badly in that game. But yeah, no, I played a couple of Swedes, and was it a Swedish guy who won it eventually? I can't remember.
Yeah, they had him out till 4 o'clock in the morning drinking.
What, the night before?
Yeah, he got 2 hours sleep and turned up and won the event.
Oh, cracking. That's really in the spirit of the Irish
Masters. That's awesome.
No, it was, I tell you, I've not socialised with the Swedes before, but I can tell you, a good bunch of blokes, to be honest.
No, they are good. I think we had one Australian there who did have to explain every game. It's like, no, Dub, I live in London at the moment. I haven't travelled here from Australia.
He'd have got a few more pints if he did.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think, what else was that? Were there any Germans there this year? Another were last year?
No, or else I would have been hanging around with them.
Really?
Yeah, every time I go on holiday, mate, I get mistaken for being German. It's really hilarious.
Interesting.
Really? Yeah. Same camp as Prince Harry.
Anyway,
moving on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very much moving on.
Yeah, so we had, you know, it's a nice venue as well this year. They've kind of expanded by having that nice little sandwich bar cafe as well, which was, you know, really appreciated. Anywhere where I can stop my gaming and quickly have a salami sandwich is good for me. So, you know, I'm happy with that. And for Dublin, reasonable prices. I won't say for anywhere else, but...
Yeah, no, it was. You've got to save your money if you go in next year.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. Especially for the, you know, well, it's not necessarily the actual event that really costs the money. I mean, okay, you're paying for your ferry and your fuel and everything else, but it's just the expenses while you're over there. It's not cheap.
No, that is one way of putting it. There's another way that I can't say on this podcast. But if you budget,
it's okay.
No, I'm not going to swear, mate. I made myself a little vow, but it's okay. One of those, if you budget for it, you will benefit it.
You're not going to swear?
No, I'm not, sugar tits.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely would advise anyone who's listening and is vaguely interested in going to something that's a little bit of an international experience, and, you know, but still wants a kind of a good, solid, competitive tournament without... I'm going to say without any of the nastiness that sometimes comes with that. No, yeah. I think we've all had at least one of the bigger tournaments. We've all had at least one game that we kind of sit back at the end of and think, I'm not sure I ever want to play that person again. And that's not being nasty, because you get them in every environment and every game system. But I do think there's less of that edge at the
I think you're going, if you want a good six games and you want a good solid social.
Yeah, exactly.
The Irish lads provide en masse, and it's an old school tournament.
Oh yeah.
You know, you turn up with a hangover and get on with it.
But that's not true of the Welsh, to be honest.
It does have a little bit of that flavour, just within a venue that has some natural light.
Oh, okay, that helps. Mm.
Or, well, apart from that bottom, was it left-hand corner if you're on the stage?
Yeah, that was a bit...
That's a little bit dank, that's kind of out the way. But they've had that problem for several years, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and that's where Jay was normally playing, wasn't it?
Yes, he always seemed to get shuffled off down there. Even though the tables were random every single round, he always seemed to be in that corner.
Yeah, it was a bit scary when you went down to see him.
Stop turning into Gollum.
Nasty hobbits!
What, Jay's Gollum?
I didn't say that. I said he was turning into Gollum during that period of time.
Well, I got him this year for once.
Oh, did you end up playing him?
Yeah, he took his list. Yeah. And I think I lost 3 machine raves to him before I got him.
Oh.
We could only shoot one thing at one time with one magic weapon, you know what I mean?
Well, yes. So I forgot to mention, this was the kind of the farewell tournament for your crooks, wasn't it?
Yeah, got to put them up for a year. Which idiot came up with that? Yeah, that'd be me.
Yeah. But yeah, you're moving on to different experiences for 12 months.
Can't be bad.
That's one way looking at it. Still losing.
You never know. You might find a faction that's more to your liking.
Or morally sound.
That's it, because no other faction has Coven. But
yeah, but I've got Rask, and he's a mini Coven.
I feel ill now.
You'll find out on Saturday, mate.
I don't like playing against Rask.
You don't?
No.
Why no?
Because I'd forgotten quite how easily he can get rid of Karchev.
He beats Karchev?
Yes, quite handily, in fact.
Gonna have to change my lists.
Well, I can't take Cador at the moment, so you're safe.
Yeah, but I know somebody's going to be taking him on Saturday.
Oh, good grief. Well, to be fair, if it's part of the Sutton Coalfield lot, I did actually do a bad thing and taught at least one member of that club how Karchev works, because the owner of the local game store kind of turned up at the club and said, oh, I'll give you a game. It's like, great. I'm playing Karchev. Do you know how he works? Yes. Okay. I'm gonna move everything forward. If your caster is not protected, next turn you'll probably die. Okay? It's like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. No, you know, I wanna see how this works. Okay. So remember, protect your caster or he'll die. Okay. And then the next turn it was, okay, Karchev, move forward, turn around, beast, apply to face. Like, yeah, you didn't put anything in the way.
Oh.
And that has since spread throughout the club, a sort of these load of ripples. Apparently there was a very young child who was going down Titan Lichfield with Karchev and terrorising some of the older people.
That sounds bizarre. Has he got a little Jack Russell that he calls Karchev as well now?
Yeah, he's dyed in red as well.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I only saw one Karchev listed the Irish, though.
Would that be mine?
So that's two, then. I wasn't paying attention to yours because I was trying to dodge you, to be honest. I think it was only two.
Well, to be fair, it's amazing that you see Karchev at tournaments at all, because so many people look at Karchev and go, well, this caster is terrible. And on the surface, he can be that way. But I've played with him enough that he becomes at least acceptable. So
yeah, you just hit the nail on the head there, though, Mike, haven't you? Play it enough.
Well, I mean, this, I realise this is diverging from the Irish Masters, but that's the case with a lot of stuff that seems a little subpar or weird. It's kind of got a niche that it fits in. You just need to find it. You need to have a little bit of an experiment, play around with it. It's something we've always kind of said on the podcast.
Yeah, right.
If something looks bad, it might be because you've not found out where it fits yet.
Yeah, definitely.
It might just be shit, but...
Well, I mean, there are some units and solos that, well, even after all that, you still look at it and go, well, I found where it fits, but it's still not very good.
Well, we mentioned that when we did our top casters and our favourite casters kind of bit, because a lot of those were not ones that were considered top-tier casters, but actually it's amazing what can come out of the bag with a lot of those casters. You can pull things out, and also it can be fun to take to tournaments because people don't see them, especially if there's, like, I don't know how many casters now, 130-plus now? So
it's huge numbers.
Yeah, so it's hard to be prepared for all of it. And you play outside casters, it can be a laugh and throw people a curveball. Fun, isn't it?
Well, I mean, there's still so many men off the cast that I don't think I've even seen on the table against me. I've never seen either of the... Was it the Testament or High Reclaimer?
Okay.
On the table against me. I've never played either of them.
I'm playing Pigs at the moment, but that's you talk like that and I go, oh, I've got one of those. I've got one of those.
But anyway, Irish Masters, I mean, it's what else is there to say about it? It's a great social environment. We did a tour of a couple of pubs because there's the Lombard just across from the venue.
So the story, Mike.
What, that you dragged me out for a lunchtime pint and and you felt that this was, you know, the great achievement of your life and you can tick it off your bucket list?
The two pints, yes. One pint, no, that's for losers.
See, now this is the thing. You dragged me out for one pint. And then Kev Bryant was there going, do you want another? I was like, no, it's fine. Are you sure you don't want another? No, I'm fine. Positive? Yeah, no, it's fine. One point's enough for me at lunch. Wanders off, comes back with a round for everyone, including me. Like, this is going to be an awkward afternoon because I've had nothing to drink all day other than alcohol. So it was fun in a roundabout sort of way. But it was a good time.
You're in Ireland. What do you want?
I was out in Ireland. What I wanted was a bottle of water at some point. I'll tell you that.
They're short of it over there, aren't they?
Well, to be fair, I wasn't the man who, in the middle of the third round, had to pause his clock because after having gone to the pub for a pint, he hadn't gone to the loo afterwards. Oh, excuse me, mate. Just need to pause the clock and go to the loo. Back in 10.
Yeah, that was a game I played against Jay and won, so that's the way I'm doing it wrong.
You're so confident against someone, you feel it's like, I'm just going to burn 10 minutes of my clock, going to have a bit of a sit down.
I have a little nap now, this is right. Thanks. Why are you doing that for? Because I have to.
gummy bears. That's all I'm going to say. Gummy bears.
The rummy bears were fantastic. The Irish lads have decided as a kind of a bit of a welcome to everyone that they get. I don't even know what size the bowl was, other than huge. Get a huge bowl, fill it to the top with Haribo. I presume it's the golden bears or something like that. And then add rum to taste.
By taste, I
mean until the gummy bears had swollen up to like three times their normal size and become deliciously soft.
I like that.
I have a feeling more than one person may have been slightly affected by the amount of gummy bears they ate because they didn't turn up on day two.
Did you see Bryant?
I did see Kev multiple times.
Doing his like with his claw hands in the bowl, eating them. His little feet were over the top of the bowl. It was really funny.
and strangely,
he's not a tall chap. He's not a tall chap.
Strangely, he turned up for day two, unlike the ETC.
Yeah, I didn't get that nappy term, did I?
No.
That'll have
actually,
to happen.
No, that was completely called for. Continue.
Well, you don't get a bad stomach at the ETC, do you?
No.
Well, not when your team's not won the first day and you can't be bothered to stay the second day, Brian.
I believe the challenge has been thrown down there.
No, the challenge is in for not to pebble dash.
Ew.
That's just unpleasant on multiple levels.
Like a shotgun going down the toilet. No, I mean, he's got a hat for a reason. He should use it.
To be honest, it's probably more pleasant than the toilets at most wargaming venues, so, you know, something
Firestorm's
to...
Firestorm's the best.
Is it?
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love Firestorm as a venue. I mean, I really do. It's got
Starting one, it's absolutely fine.
Well,
it's Friday night, it's absolutely fine.
I'm gonna say this now, right? I love Firestorm as a venue.
I do.
Rob does a lot for the UK community. I think the Welsh Open there is one of the most cracking events you can ever go to.
Must book out.
I will say that the last time I went there and flushed the loo, the water from the system was pouring over the top onto the floor every time we flushed it. Now, that's probably through the sheer amount of use it gets through as a single toilet in that entire weekend.
Sounds like user error to me that does.
Yeah, and he's wearing open-toed sandals.
No. He didn't look open-toed.
Well, he had white socks on.
I take the army boots to Firestorm for a reason.
Try waders.
Get very hot legs.
Saves on waxing them.
I'm not sure if that's in or out of waiters, but never mind.
So, anyway...
Yes.
He didn't say it, did he? He didn't say it.
Oh, do you want me to say it? Moving on.
No.
There we go.
Mike?
Yeah?
Can we move on, please?
Okay. You realise I do have just a soundbite of that I can insert wherever I need it. It's totally fine.
Okay.
You've got soundbites almost everything you can insert wherever you really care to.
Yes. Wait, no.
well, whatever, you know.
So, I mean, I came away from... I mean, the Irish Master, we, of course, you know, we travelled there on our usual five-star travelling methods. My McGann, followed by the Premier class on the ferry, waving at the peasants all the way.
Where did you get your ferry from?
Ferryport.
I know Ferryport, cock.
Holyhead.
Okay.
So it's the bit of Wales that no one goes through because it's Anglesey and weird.
Yeah, see, I'd go down to Fishguard, but that's because I'm further down.
Well, yes, you certainly can, but Holyhead's kind of more convenient for us. And plus, there's a nice tour of the North Wales coastline.
You can point and laugh at where Buxton lives.
I did mention this several times. We had a little adventure when we got there, as my sat-nav failed to work, and Nick's...
Start speaking an Irish accent, in a patronising, really bad, almost prejudiced accent.
No, it just didn't work at all. Then Nick's phone refused to work, because, brilliantly, he hadn't set it up for international roaming, and to use international roaming, you had to use the phone first.
Let me guess, Nick assumed it would just work.
A little bit, because that's what the three sites said. I'll go no further than that.
How do you know that, though? Because if you can't... I didn't have any 3G. How did you check?
Because we beat it out of him.
He checked beforehand, apparently. Oh. Anyway, so we ended up on a magical mystery tour of Dublin with my usual slightly panicked and terror-filled driving style as we went around the fabulous Irish capital.
I found a lovely picture of your parking in my phone the other day.
There's a website I can get you to submit that to later. It's fine.
I will. I stumbled across it and went, oh, no, there's Mike's parking 12 feet away from another car.
Well, I don't want anyone to scratch my McGann.
It's nearly a tempting space to try and jam another car into next in between there, though. I tried.
Oh, we know you're very trying, Kurt.
Ah, indeed.
Yes. So we had a kind of a magical mystery tour of Dublin. Stayed at the Premier Inn Dublin Airport, which was fairly reasonable and actually quite nice. We're a bit away from the hubbub of the outside world.
Yeah, I think next time if we're going to do it, we'll have to book into Dublin, but try and get somewhere with parking, walkable. Obviously.
Walkable.
That's kind of the problem with Dublin.
Mm. Parking, but walkable.
Well, this is the thing. Being from the Midlands, I naturally object to any and all forms of parking charge. I will quite happily spend £6 on fuel to avoid a £5 parking charge. I pay to move the car, not to stop it. That's my little political statement there over. It's fine. It's done. So, yeah. It was better than the parking for last year, though.
Why? You didn't let me drive your car.
Which did entail that lovely little tunnel of love, which was barely wider than the car.
Oh, my. You still give us the card back.
There was an inch of clearance each side of the wing mirrors, maybe.
How fast did you drive through there, though?
Did
I scrape plastic off wing mirrors at like 40 miles an hour?
I mean,
slivers.
To be honest, the speed at which I went through there could be described as glacial.
glacial, nice. No. Are we moving? Yes. How can you tell? I've got this measurement tool here, look.
No, I think you could actually describe it as the fact that your butt cheeks were clenching that hard that you were pulling a vacuum in the tunnel.
Are you just pulling wing mirrors in?
Thoughtfully enough, Mr. Brown did offer to take over the driving. However, it was at that point physically impossible as he was outside the car, and getting into a position where the doors could be opened would have required me to either go through the archway the car was trapped in or reverse out, which that one really wasn't happening.
That's not the way I remember it.
It is the way I choose to remember it, and we'll stay at that.
You said no after I said, well, it's all right, it's not my car if it gets dented, to which you said you're not driving it.
Well, to be fair, I have a long-standing distrust of other people in my car. After the first time I let it happen, within 15 seconds, someone had rammed a skip with my car, which was good. And then
it wasn't James, though.
No, that wasn't James. Oh. But then it took them
I met another James.
Yeah. No, it definitely wasn't. So someone that you don't know and is a very old acquaintance. We have long-standing distrust of their cars. Yes, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we really need to discuss about the Irish Masters other than it will happen again next year.
Lots of alcohol.
If you're interested in going, join up to the War Machine Hordes Ireland Facebook group, or the UK one, actually. I think they do cross-post.
Yeah, they've been added. They're also looking at a new venue, remember?
Yes, they are looking at potentially expanding. I mean, I don't know if it'll keep the same atmosphere, if it moves away, or anything like that.
They're going to do a cabin in the woods type of idea, are they?
No, that's someone else.
Oh, sorry.
But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't know if Stu's still running it next year.
Yeah, I think him and Emily are still going to run it. They're just looking to up the numbers, I believe, to 128.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Irish Masters does pretty much pay for the rest of that convention to exist.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not something they've kind of kept really too much of a secret about. That it was outright said to us last year, you know, if the Masters wasn't here, it would be difficult for the rest of that convention to exist. I mean, there are, you know, there's board games and RPGs and various other bits and pieces of stuff. And I think that part of it actually expanded as well from last year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Is that a bit like a mini UK Games Expo by the side of it?
Not on anywhere near the same scale.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
say mini.
Yeah, it's kind of... I'm trying to think of the size of the room.
It's about the ground floor at the UK Masters at Clarendon Suites, half of that, that.
Okay. That is quite small.
Of the big downstairs room, the one that had sort of the two trade, well, had the trade hall and the demo area in.
That's kind of what I'm imagining,
yeah. It is for the university gaming clubs as well.
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. So, I mean, it's not a huge thing. It's very long running. I mean, I think this is the 35th annual convention that they've done, which is very impressive in its own right. And they do, you know, they do a top-notch job of the 2 years that have been of actually kind of making everyone feel welcome and providing a really good atmosphere. And, you know, I think that's kind of the key thing to take away from the event as a whole, really. If you want somewhere with a fantastic atmosphere, that's the place to be, because everyone who goes is going for a great fun time. Yes, there's, you know, a big gaming tournament there, and, you know, it's great to win stuff, but everyone's got their fun hat on, or at least most people.
Is that a condom reference?
How dare you?
What?
How dare you sully this, Kurt?
I assumed you meant people were being irresponsible.
Somehow I feel like Manus's House of Fun should be playing in the background at this point, but I'll
put that in later.
So, okay. Well, I think at this point we shall go for a little bit of a break before we come back and discuss the Horde's lesser warlocks that have just been announced and also the painting table. So we'll see you on the other side. Okay, welcome back.
Are you gonna bring us back now?
Yes, I am, actually.
Is he?
Yes. Welcome back to Elite Cadre. We hope you enjoyed the break and various messages and or music that was there.
I did. It was fantastic.
It was amazing. You sat there and waffled. We thought...
Is that what that's called?
Yes. Wait, hang on. We thought what we'd do is discuss some of the new models that were previewed at Adepticon, including some lesser warlocks and one solo for Legion. So
nobody plays them.
Really? So the first one that was previewed was the Trollblood Lesser Warlock, Horgol Ironstrike.
He's got a big hammer.
He has. I mean, the model, I have heard people saying, oh, the model's terrible. Oh, I don't like it. I've just looked at the model, courtesy of losthemisphere.com. So,
I've heard of them.
Yes. It's also on their Facebook page. Just, you know, look for the post, 4th of April. It's clickable off there. We'll wait for a couple of seconds while we do that. It's on Facebook.
You've got it now?
Yeah, okay. People should be there by now.
Mm.
So I'd heard the model was kind of, it's horrific and terrible. Now, I've just looked at it, and yes, it's part of the newer breed of trolls, which I know not everyone likes the aesthetic for. But that looks like, if you said, okay, he's a troll blacksmith, that's kind of what I'd imagine, because he's got the massive sort of flaming sword, the big chunky hammer, and he's, you know, a well-muscled troll. He looks like he could work in a forge.
He's got big forearms, even for a troll.
Well, yes. The less said about that, the better.
Yeah, hang on. That was Mike that went there, wasn't it?
I know.
That's chicken.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He made a masturbation reference.
How dare you.
Only twice.
So, nice model. I mean, his combat stats are nothing to really write home about. I think it's the same as all the other...
I don't know, he's not bad.
Well, I think they're largely slightly lower than you might expect because he's got Fury 4. And, of course, Fury for lesser warlocks works in a slightly more beneficial way than Focus does for Warcasters.
When you compare him with a 3-point solo, he's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt there. I mean...
One thing you might expect... I know he's heavy and he's armoured. You kind of, as a troll, think he might be speed 6. That's it. My first thing I look at and go, oh, he's not speed 6.
Yeah, but he's immunity fire as well.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
That's nice.
And he can pick up corrosion as well with the other light.
There's a reason that he's the character then, isn't it? If you imagine if you buy those like as many as you wanted.
And a little bit of sick just hit the back of my mouth.
I'll have 3 of those, please. Great.
Now, I think the big things about him, he's got a spell list that is Okay, first of all, he's got Molten Metal, which is appropriate, I think, but not really the best of spells.
It only costs two, though.
It only costs two, but don't forget he's also Fury 4, so...
Yeah,
it,
but that does a lot of damage.
6 points of guaranteed damage.
12 to Colossal.
To a light warjack.
Still six for a Colossal.
Yeah, you're going to hit one side.
One grid for a Colossal.
Yeah,
cast
I agree.
Twice.
Pardon?
Cast it twice.
Well, there we go. Now, I think the reason I'd say it's not the greatest spot. Firstly, he's got to be within 10 inches of the warjack, which puts him really in harm's way at that point. He's having to use Beast Fury to do it, so it lessens his protection dramatically. And unless it's a Kador warjack or a Colossal, he might have to boost a hit. So I think it's a good utility piece.
Well, true, hitting his Fury 4, that is quite challenging. You need to an 8 to hit average jacks. Okay, yeah, so you mean it's 3 to get Kador, hit in there.
Yeah, 6 is for Kador, you can just roll it and get some off, and you know that allows you to send in maybe a lighter beast on a Kador warjack than something else. But you know, Signar warjacks going def 12, 13, it starts to become risky. 8s and 9s to hit. So, but I think the real thing you're looking for with him is the fact that he's got Hotshot, which, you know, it's an upkeepable spell. It gives boosted ranged attack damage rolls, which is especially important when you consider what he can actually take.
Yeah, Slag Troll.
Yeah, he can take the Slag Troll and the Pyre Troll. Now, and he also gets those at a 1 point discount.
He could also put that on a bomber.
No, he can't take the bomber.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to put spells on his own battle group.
Yeah, Hotshot is battle group only.
Oh, it's the whole battle group gains it. Sorry, I misread it.
You're not
I'm
really
talking good. Model in this battle's battle group. That's okay, that's a bit restrictive.
Yeah.
I didn't read that properly.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Ooh, careful. So, yes, he can only take Pyre and Slag Trolls at a 1 point discount, which at, what's that, 4 points each?
No, Slag's 6, that's 5 for Slag.
Oh, okay. 6, okay.
But you said Rare 2.
Yeah.
It's Rare 2, and it's, oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Roth
2. Two slags is where I'm immediately in with that damage rolls against two slags. What do you want? Saturday night.
I don't think the Americans quite thought that one through when they were...
A slag troll.
So,
when's the Welsh Open?
But no, two slag trolls on him. Hot swapping.
It's funny when somebody else says it.
Quiet. Child.
Two slag trolls on him.
Yeah, and he said swap it.
Yeah. Hot swapping hot.
I'll just get Calandra and do some, you know, modifications.
He can quite easily now shoot down at even a decent heavy pretty easily. Because what's the natural power of a slag troll on the...
13.
So 12. It's
12, 13.
It's 13. Additional die for attacking a construct.
Yep.
And boosted with hot shot.
And you get to do bad Judge Dredd impressions.
Yep, and he gets an additional die on non-living models for damage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's constructs and undead, so yeah. So 4 dice of damage.
It's 12. It's 12, I'm afraid. It's not 13. It's 4 dice, power 12.
Yeah, I mean, 2 of those hitting you with 4 dice of damage between minus 6 and minus 8.
Yeah.
That's going to take a tasty little chunk out of any warjack.
Minus 6, 10 damage. That's nearly dead.
Yeah.
Average dice is a light. I mean, a light's nearly dead. A heavy is half dead.
I mean, that's the point.
Well, there's 4 lots of that. So it's 4 lots of 10 damage. That's dead.
So, I mean, that's presuming you hit with everything and you get decent rolls and you, so on and so forth. But that's good stuff. Admittedly, that is an 11-point unit on its own, which some people
have said... handy 11-point unit.
Well, some people have said, you know, oh, 11 points in 3 models, oh, it's a bit much. But it's like, well, 2 of those are war beasts that you're taking at a discount, so he's effectively costing 1 point.
1 point.
No, it's going to be 13 points. Mike.
Yeah. Well, 13 points if you take 2 slags.
Yeah.
If you put 2 slags on him.
Oh, yes, because they're 6 and go down to 5. Yes. No, you're quite right.
Put 2 slags on him. Never really laughed last time.
So childish.
Shut it, you slag.
So. Okay. Well, I think that's.
He likes 2 slags on him, I heard. We'll move on now.
Yeah. Is there anything else about Horgol you'd like to talk about? I think that's kind of.
He's cool. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed. We sort of looked at him again and talked about him. I'm like, I'm looking forward to the 360. Yeah, definitely. That's a gateway piece, that is. Get back into Trolls.
Yeah. Whoever has actually painted that studio model, that's a really good job as well.
Nice fire. I like the fire on the sword. You can barely see it, but it's a very nice effect on the sword.
Absolutely.
Is his hammer stronger than his sword? One would hope so. We'll have a look properly. Solo, where's he gone? Iron Strike. Yeah, so the hammer's 12 and the sword's 11. oven but causes fire. The hammers, they're both magical. That's just awesome. Even without a war beast, or just give him one pyre troll, that's really good.
There is also an extra effect on one of his weapons as well.
They're both magical, and the sword's fire.
The Smith's hammer has critical ram. Ooh. So if he critical hits, he can knock things down and push them back an inch.
Critical beatback, isn't it?
Yes, but with an added knockdown element, which anything with knockdown is a good start.
Oh, knockdown and push. You're very.
Yeah.
Great knockdown there. Yeah.
So with his melee weapons, he can cause fire. And it's not even crit fire, it's continuous fire.
It's fire, it's just because it's fire. If he touches you, you're fired. Something.
Which is great as well for his other ability, which is war beasts in this model's battle group can charge targets suffering the fire continuous effect without being forced. So he can go in on something, set it on fire, give it a couple of boosted hits.
So the thing to compare him to are the previous lessers. So Wrong Eye Snapjaw and Rorschach Brine and the Snaky Witch. And you got to think, if you put him in a similar kind of points with two lights, one of each, a similar kind of points level, it's pretty good.
I think he's possibly more offensively minded.
He's more survivable too. They've all got fire. He's got more wounds. He's tough. I know Rorsch is tough, but
yeah. No, I can see what you're saying.
He's different.
Yeah. Try to think. The only animal he's got access to aren't really defensive. Then again, you've always got the Krill Stone.
Yeah.
Trolls don't need access to it. They've already got it in the army, haven't they?
Yeah.
Defensive troll blood. You were just trying to say defensive troll blood animi, weren't you?
No, I think the trolls as a whole have got there with the fell.
No, I meant Mike before that. He was kind of reaching for an animi that's defensive. There are almost no animi in trolls that are defensive.
Of course, because they're all sort of plus three strength.
Or bomb shelter. There's bomb shelter. Bomber gives you defensive against.
You've got the Earthborn one. You've got the Earthborn one, which adds to defense.
No, adds to armor or defense or whatever. Yeah, true, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And bump.
That's another good one. But he doesn't have access to those. He's got access.
He should have a bouncer though, shouldn't he? For fluff, the bouncer should be in there too. Really, I'd have thought. Well, because he's a blacksmith. What's he going to do? Make tons of armor for full blood trolls.
You've got a point.
I was a bit silly. I was just thinking from a fluff point of view. You think he'd have a bouncer?
I think that might make him a bit too survivable. You see what
very,
I mean?
Yeah.
Because at the point where he's got bump and a personal shield guard and
yeah, that's nice.
Should we move on to the circle one?
Yeah, before James throws up, yeah.
Yes. The circle one is Una the Falconer.
Una!
Yeah, she's got built-in Pathfinder. Again, decently average stats. But I think the highest rat of all the lessers and journeymen, with rat 6, which is surprising, given that it's...
Yeah, boostable rat 6, that's quite tasty.
A range control area ranged attack, which is her bird. It's only a power 10, but yeah. Reach magical weapon at power 9, nothing kind of...
It's circle, wasn't it?
Fury 4, which, again, it's a lot like all the other journeymen. Her two spells, Dogpile, which gives extra movement on charges and slams, and also ignores line of sight when making those attacks, which is nice. And also Pathfinder, but that doesn't really matter for the beast she's got. And Watcher, which is the crazy Zakova, come within 6 inches of me, and this war beast will come and beat you up spell, which is nice.
Cool, yeah.
Bird's Eye, which is, again, very nice. Although, quite why she's kind of got that and Dogpile. It's a bit odd. And specialization, war beasts with flight. So she can only take the griffins.
At the moment.
I think it's going to stay that way for a while, given that Circle have just got their third griffin, the Rotterhorn, which a lot of people have been kind of a bit negative on the griffins so far. I think they're interesting. I don't think we've quite found a way to kind of capitalize on them yet. But certainly with the new Rotterhorn griffin, that's kind of interesting, because that's got a star action to do a blast out from it every single turn, and an animus to do it a second time, I think. Can't remember if that's a star action or a star attack.
Yeah, it's a star action.
Yeah, so you can potentially do two of those a turn, which is pretty interesting. And it'll only be 3 points with her, because again, she's got that reduction for the war beast in her battle group. Personally, I don't think she's as interesting as Horgon.
No, I'm not as thrilled.
Yeah.
Skirt less blown up.
But I think she's potentially got a place with a couple of Skarsfell griffins, because it effectively gives her a 16-inch control area.
Is she not into slags as well?
No. No, they're trolls, dear.
Oh, yeah, slag trolls.
Yes, exactly. So, a couple of Skarsfells for 4 points each with her. It's not too bad. It gives you a little bit of a range threat. Another, having a discussion with Ryan Evans, it was kind of, we're kind of there going, okay, well, if you've got that and Watcher out, then you've suddenly got a bit of a tricky way to hold a zone in circle without actually directly being offensive all the time.
What's quite nice is it enables them to have to be out way out on the flank with the Falcons and have them harassing and stuff without, and you keep your cast quite back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not experienced enough with Circle to know where that would be applicable yet, so I am interested to try her out, but it's going to be interesting to see what she actually does. I do know a lot of people seem to think she's Roth 3. As far as I can see on War Room, she's Roth 1. Which,
I think it was a misprint.
Yeah. If she does end up as Roth 3, I will be very happy, but because, to be honest, a Roth 3 RAT 6 POW 10 that ignores line of sight in her control area.
Just small, but yeah, perfectly formed.
Well, yes. That's. I should as well say that that is another excellent model and sculpted by Russ Charles.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was Russ's
That's lovely.
First piece of work for Privateer Press, and I'm both looking forward to painting it and completely intimidated because...
Did he paint that studio model as well? Somebody else painted it?
I was suspecting someone else painted it, but it is a lovely bit of work.
It wouldn't be finished yet if he was painting it, would it? Well, we're just praising him all over the place. Can't have all that, Russ. And in case he happens to listen to the show, we can't quite go all out, look at me. So nice hat, by the way. That's good for that, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I think we can finish on the circle one there. The next one up will be not a lesser warlock. It's Fionn the Lash.
Just worryingly like a assassin out of the Nyss. Not Nyss, the fucking elves.
Yes. With, what was it, speed 7, mat 7, so, you know, looking good already.
She hasn't got 4-inch range on the whip, though, does she? Or does she?
I think you may want to read the...
I put it down now in a painting.
Yeah, barbed lash chain strike. This weapon has a 4-inch melee range.
Oh, exactly that then. That's what I thought it might have been.
So yeah, that's a power 12. It's not a weapon master though, which is nice. And she doesn't have stealth, which is good. What she does have though is the ability to choose between dismember, so extra die when attacking war beasts, or pitch. Not crit pitch. No.
Pitch.
Just pitch. So instead of making
fling things around.
Yes, instead of making normal damage roll, you can throw the model hit as if it had been hit and passed a strength check on a throw.
Any model.
I think
she can fling a heavy war beast or heavy warjack. Obviously not colossal. With that.
I think there are limitations on that one due to base size.
You think there are, but you can't find it.
I know. I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right, you're not looking at the card.
I would check on that one.
There's nothing on the card saying she can't.
Yeah, but normally it says regardless of base size.
So
there will be some limitations on it. Let's check the throw power attack.
Pitch. Wow.
Hello.
Indeed.
Have you seen this model, Kurt?
Sorry?
Have you seen the model?
No. Well, looking at it on the screen, yes.
Well, you're on the preview.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice looking model.
It is.
It is. It's a very nicely painted model as well, actually.
Yeah, the dynamics are good. I mean, I think that's
a Strider,
very...
isn't it? It's a Strider solo without being called a Strider solo, though.
Ah, there we go. A model cannot throw a model with a larger base. So she can only chuck small base ones around. However, some people have suggested this does mean that you can, say, run a shredder out front and whip it into the opposing caster.
That sounds good.
That makes me feel, frankly, ill. Admittedly, you're in a bit of a risk because it is a throw and it can do silly things.
It's a single-handed throw, so you get to choose a direction. That's your lot.
So, yeah. But the thing is, because it's the same size base, it will stop. You can even park something just behind the caster so that it goes halfway through the caster, and even if it sort of clips the edge, it can land on the caster and all sorts of shenanigans. It's wonderful. Or she can have beat back on her main attack. So, you know, lots of fun options there.
That was a legion of fun. Yes.
She's evasive, so doesn't suffer free strikes. And if a ranged attack misses her, she gets a 2-inch advance, prowl, and rapid strike, so she can make 2 attacks.
She's a bit nasty.
Yes. All this on a 3-point solo. They seem to be liking these 3-point solos at the moment, don't they?
I'm from Trolls. We only recently got a 2-point solo, really. Offensive one.
You've got your sorcerer, be happy.
Eventually.
So yeah, there's your well, I mean, they don't get a lesser because obviously they got the was it the Beast Mistress?
Yeah.
And they already had the Shepherd.
Well, yes. It's the funny thing. It's like, well, no one else's Fury Management really kind of works exactly for their lesser warlocks. Oh, apart from Legions, where just basically everything works fine. It's just, okay, well, the last one, if I can find him, is Tyrant Zardesh for Scorn. He's Fury 4. Again, bit of an average stat line. He's got a power 12, magical reach weapon, nothing too fantastic. But he does have Perdition, which is nice. And he can also give his battle group the equivalent of Gang.
I saw that.
Yeah. He's not limited in his battle group either, so he can take whatever he likes.
Yeah.
And also, once per round, he can just elect to have a member of his battle group have the equivalent of Shield Guard.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
That the Warbeast doesn't have to have Shield Guard, it just magically gains it for one attack of his choice. I'll be honest, I quite like this one.
You do raise a Scorn, though, don't you?
Yeah, I could never play Scorn, I don't think.
No.
Not yet.
No, I'm not planning to anyway. But no, giving Scorn battle groups tag team or the equivalent of Gang. I think we could see some of the Cyclops with reach weapons.
My thinking was like a Slavage.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to go out there and just say the Reptile Hound.
How many points is that?
It's a two-pointer, and it gets plus two for Gang.
Oh, my God.
And he's got tag team.
Yeah.
That just looks a bit horrendous.
Well, actually, no, it gets Gang, and it gets Flank.
Yeah, sorry.
The Reptile Hound. So, I mean, what you could see is a couple of Reptile Hounds. And,
I would just go pack a Reptile Hounds.
Well, a couple of Reptile Hounds and one Cyclops Savage. But you've definitely always got that.
Fury.
Well, the reach to trigger Gang, even if you don't quite get all the Reptile Hounds in. Which, yeah, that's a nasty little combination.
That's not nice.
And give the Reptile
Didn't hear that here first,
hounds,
no.
Give the Reptile Hounds a two and the Savage is only five. That's pretty tasty. I'm quite liking that.
See, I'd be with Kurt. I'd say Reptile Hounds all the way.
Yeah, I would.
Additional die on damage.
Well, it's, was it, plus four to hit, plus two power, and an additional die of damage. So a pair of 10 Weapon Masters. Mat 9, 10.
That's nice. A little 2-point flipping.
Mat 9.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
So, yeah, him and a pack of Reptile Hounds, that could certainly work. What is also going to be interesting to see, and I don't know about this yet, is how all these new Lesser Warlock are going to interact with War Beast units. Because we know they're coming, so it'll be interesting to see where that one goes. Because I'm very interested to see what's in this. It's Horde's Exigence, isn't it?
Don't know.
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah, the next book is, I think it's Exigence.
Exigence?
Exigence. I'll be very interested to see where that goes. Because it looks like there's already, from what's out, a lot of interesting new stuff.
Bork on a bear. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
And also the Pig Doom Reaver.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
See,
that?
I had both of you interested there.
I'm painting pigs right now.
So, okay. For anyone who hasn't been to the Lost Hemisphere Facebook page...
What are you doing?
...blog, pictures of all these models are available there. Plus, you've also got a picture of Imperatus, the new Retribution character heavy, and also Exulon...
That's really not very exciting.
Yeah. Exulon Thexis, which is the new...
Cephalix.
Thank you. The new Cephalix, we believe caster, I think.
That's pretty funky.
Focus 8.
He looks interesting and different. I'm not sure I'm going to add those to my mercenaries. I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes. So, but yes, Lost Hemisphere.
Is it a mercenary?
Yes, all the new Cephalix are mercenaries.
So they're going to go rather well with Fiona the Black. Is that all right?
We don't know which bits will work for her yet.
Or work with her or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought they were... I thought they were Thamar type peeps.
No, Cephalix aren't technically Thamar. They are their own species of special awful. So, okay, well, I think that wraps up that little preview item nicely, if you'll agree.
Absolutely. It's lovely.
And we can move on to the final segment of the show. What's on your painting table? I think, as well, this time, we should probably start with the guest. So, James, what's on your painting table?
Well, I've got a Bull Snapper, Black-Eyed Rastler, six Bog Trogs, and Rask now.
So you're not aiming high on this painting table. You're kind of just going with a small amount of models to get yourself started off with.
Yeah, and I've not mentioned the coursework, but that's what I've got to get done by Saturday.
Okay, so you're doing those in a sort of a studio scheme, or...?
If studio is flick the paint at them and hope it stays, then wash for Britain, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, applying paint to miniatures, it's all good. So as long as you're getting painted models on the table, we're happy. That's good, that's good. So, Kurt.
Hello.
What's on your painting table?
Some pigs. Two road hogs, four razorback little boar things, Midas, and a minimum unit of, what they're called? The gun, ones with guns.
Brigands.
On the side, because it was just too much to try and paint all of this at once, are some more slaughterhouses.
Again, aiming small with your...
I'm expanding. Well, because it's pigs. I'll paint less at once when there's more detail. Like, next phase, I've got them mostly done. But I should probably focus on miners at some point. But I want to get the road... I'm probably going to take these down to Exeter tomorrow, so I'm just kind of sticking the shoulder pads on the... I've done all the flesh work this evening while we've been talking on the road hogs. So I'm just sticking the shoulder pads on. And then I think I might take them down to play with Mr. Richard Dean tomorrow evening.
Rich is still going.
Still playing War Machine.
What, in Exeter? I thought it all shut shop.
The shop's gone, but Exeter Inquisition, the gaming club, existed before the shop and after the shop.
All right, well, I was sad to hear about the shop.
The shop's went quite a while ago, but Clifton Games is still there.
All right.
But, Exeter Inquisition was going before they were in the store, and they're still going. They're in Scout Hut, around the corner from where the shop used to be, around that side of Exeter.
All right, I haven't been down there for ages. Last time I played you, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Last time I was down there was when... Yeah, that was the tournament, wasn't it?
Can't remember. The one in the... that was on this side of Exeter, wasn't it? That was in British Legion place, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was the warehouses, but we got in trouble. I'll tell you...
Probably, I usually do.
Anyway, moving on.
I must say, this is thrilling radio to go through your pasts in the South. It's just keeping me... It's so entertained.
So I'm painting pigs, and
cool.
I don't want to expand my pigs.
Pardon?
I want to expand my pigs.
Ah, well, you certainly are. And it's good to see you with some enthusiasm for
once. I thought piggies, be laugh, get drunk, play pigs.
Seems good.
That's my year's gaming philosophy. Get drunk, play pigs. Next year, far too many new troll things, so probably more trolls.
Well, it's kind of nice to have that kind of 1 year of doing something, then move on to something else for the next year, and kind of at least keeps it a little bit fresh.
Well, I'm also thinking, because I had a bit of a splurge on Tyranids, and I bought a really nice big KR case, a really big one. My philosophy is also to kick out all the foam that I bought to put in the Tyranids in, and load up my nice big case with one side pigs, the other side X-Wing.
Nice.
Yeah. Works for me.
So you've got the good day out of gaming case, essentially.
Yes, I've got, exactly. I've got the fun, don't get upset, play silly games, drink heavily.
Excellent.
Apparently, at the Welsh Open, there's... what's that silly game with the little plastic animals?
Botswana.
Apparently, is the International Botswana Championship is on Saturday night, apparently, I heard.
You may have mentioned this in the last episode.
No, that was just casual chat. That wasn't in the episode, I think.
Oh, well, either way, it's there, so...
Okay, good.
Okay. Well,
Mike, what's on your painting table?
Well, again, it's once more a little bit of an assembling table. But technically, they are some Defeat in Detail, what are they called? Churchill and Black Prince tanks. What they actually are, well, no, not quite. What they will actually turn out to be is some Lehman Russ demolishers and some just normal Lehman Russ tanks for Epic, or Epic Armageddon to be more specific. So I'm delving into the Imperial Guard, and...
There should be a euphemism there, but I can't think of one.
Yes. I hope to survive. So I've actually gone through recently and kind of wandered through about four or five different makers of 6mm figures and gone, that will be my Griffin, that will be a Bombard, that will be a Shadow Sword, and found near enough good replicas for most of the Imperial Guard stuff. Some of it's a bit shaky because I can't for the life of me find 6mm Ogryns anywhere. There just doesn't seem to be a replacement. So I've picked up some, well, I've noted down some 6mm battle suits that are sort of human piloted but slightly bigger. So, yeah. Hopefully get some games of Epic in.
I haven't played Epic in a very long time.
It's one of your old and true loves.
It was my first proper war game. I just played Blood Bowl, but then and then Space Hulk, and then off the back of that was Epic. So board what? Games, really. But then Epic was the first thing I went into, and Eldar as well.
I did start looking at it when I was sort of first looking at getting into wargaming. However, this was just at the point where GW canned. What would it have been at the time? I don't know whether it was Titan Legions or Adeptus Titanicus.
Titan Legions, I suppose. Well, no, it was after. It was a Space Marine, Epic Space Marine, wasn't it?
It was whatever came with the Imperator.
Epic Space Marine.
Yeah, it was right at the end, because they took it away, and it went away for a couple of years and came back as Epic 40K, which no one liked.
No, it was lots of silly little explosion tokens, and it was like, oh, I liked Epic. It was an awesome game. What have you done to it?
Well, Epic Armageddon still has explosion tokens, but they've kind of de-Epic 40K'd it. It's still not quite as individual unit by unit stuff as the original Epic was, but apparently it's a really well regarded system, as basically all the GW specialist games were. Like, this is a really well regarded and thought out system that no one plays.
Yeah.
So, see also Blood Bowl, Necromunda, Mordheim.
That no one plays. Blood Bowl is definitely the biggest one that no one plays.
Well, it is. It's got no support. GW haven't really looked at the rules in 3 years, I want to say, at this point.
No support, and one of the most played tabletop games in the country.
But it's not visible, is the thing. You go down your average gaming club and you generally don't see games of Blood Bowl going on. You see it at tournaments, and they do the video games of it. This is another thing as well. GW have just announced a Mordheim video game.
I heard that from someone
How
else.
How insane is that? I mean, I don't mean to go off topic here, but this is a game they canned, they canned off shelves maybe a decade ago, which is carried on purely through specialist games, but they're bringing it back as a video game. I mean, they've done it with Blood Bowl, Warhammer Quest, Space Hulk. You know, if they bring back Epic as a video game as well, I'll probably play that, because the last Epic video game was excellent.
I was thinking, surely they did that already. Yeah,
they did. They had an Epic video game. It was called Final Liberation.
Excellent game.
I barely vaguely remember that.
Final Liberation. You had this, like, branching campaign system where you could say, oh, I want to take my forces here, and if you conquered certain bits, you'd gain some, like, Talan Basilisks and to add to your Katachan forces or whatever. So you've got, like, a nice little campaign system which could have counterattacks and stuff like that.
That is familiar.
And it had, they were a little bit cheap, but it had video cutscenes in it, which for the time was pretty damn awesome. You could see, like, proper 7.5 foot tall Space Marine standing next to your proper grizzled commissar, and it just looked the part. Okay, the CG was a little bit dodgy because it's a video game, they couldn't afford to pay for much, but I loved Final Liberation. I spent a lot of time game.
I liked, what was the 40K game? Second incarnation of that was rather good.
Dawn of War?
Yeah, Dawn of War 2. I liked Dawn of War 2.
I had problems with Dawn of War 2 in that it wasn't Dawn of War 1.
I liked Dawn of War 1, but Dawn of War 2 was more roleplay kind of. There was that kind of element to it.
See, that was precisely the reason I didn't like it. Dawn of War 1 was very much a real-time strategy game.
It was. But there's loads of those.
You had your nameless, faceless army, and it was interesting because you were getting to play as a 40k force, but with those RTS elements. And the second one, it said, right, you're not allowed a base anymore, and you're not going to produce more troops. You're going to have this group of six guys.
That's true, too. Dawn of War 1, when you had to build the barracks, put everything else, do chilling out Space Marines, that was fun.
I, again, played mostly as Imperial Guard in one of the expansions. Also, playing against Necrons was one of those horrible grind fests in that game, because just taking them out fully was so, so difficult to do. It's like, oh, look, there's a Necron corpse somewhere near my base. That's not going to become important in 3, 2, 1. Bing! Oh, look, it's back and killing things. That's nice.
So I loved it, then.
I do actually still have somewhere an expansion for Dawn of War that I never got around to installing. I've got the Soulstorm one with the Sisters of Battle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was good.
Never got around to it.
Was that the Interplanetary campaign, or was that the...
No, the Interplanetary campaign... Well, the one where you get a whole planet to play with was the Necron one.
That was a good one. And then, but the one after, the green-covered box, wasn't it? That was Interplanetary. That was quite good, too. I like that one.
No, Soulstorm was black and white.
Oh, it was green. But anyway, I thought Soulstorm was the one where you had multiple planets, and you could move from planet to planet, and you'd lose a second... It was like a bigger version of the previous one. I like that one.
You might well have multiple planets.
I've got them all somewhere still. I never chuck anything away.
No, I think you're right, Kurt. It was multiple planet.
So, did like that.
I do know most of them are still installed, but...
I can't say they're most of them are still installed, but yeah.
I do keep actually meaning to buy them on Steam, because they're very often in the sale for, like, you know, £6 for the entire collection, and being able to install them that easily would be, you know, great.
I have been reliably assured I will have high-speed broadband to be able to do such things in July.
Wow, as much as 4 meg.
I think we're kind of guessing between 20 and 30.
You keep dreaming, Kurt. You're in the wilds of nowhere.
Well, if you go on Google, Street View and stand next to where the box has been, you can see my house.
Oh, is this the box that you were sort of talking about? They haven't put the box in the other day. There's nothing in it yet, but they haven't put the box in.
Yeah, but that's a good indicator. And then a colleague of mine who is much more into these things than I, and he was basically emailing his MP about his high-speed broadband not being in yet and that kind of stuff. He was he's got a dodgy, ripped off the internet spreadsheet from BT telling him the installation order of the boxes. So we looked up my phone number, my address, found out which box I'm associated with, then found the scheduled go live for the box. Really, really geeky.
Ooh, I've actually just looked at the Dawn of War package on Steam. It's quite hilarious.
What is it?
It's £100.
A what?
Which includes all the additional content for Dawn of War 2, including all the expansions.
Dawn of War 2 expansions are there?
We've got Dawn of War 2, Dawn of War 2 Retribution.
Yeah, Chaos, yeah.
Then the Green Pack.
Oh.
The Last Standalone. Then about 20 different pieces of things like £2 and £3 and a lot of stuff there. Eldar and Tau and a separate expansion for the Word Bearers.
Ooh.
Chaos Rising.
Ooh.
And then right down at the bottom, you've got Dark Crusade, Dawn of War Game of the Year, Soulstorm and Winter Assault.
100 quid feels like a lot, though.
It is, but apparently at retail it would be 157.
But that should be half of what that, down to like 45 quid. Then you'd be like, actually, yes, on it.
That's a wait for the Steam sale, because it'll be about 20 quid. So anyway, we're waffling on about the Dawn of War games, good as they are.
Yeah, I can waffle about something else, though. I actually bought, briefly, I bought the Imperial Aces for X-Wing.
Oh, right, okay.
It's really, really nice. The little red TIE Interceptors. With extra pilots and new whizzy extra stuff.
Yeah.
And I had a game with them with two usual Imperial Guard, the Emperor's Guard, TIE Fighters. Two of those with them, not Turf and Air, the other one, who leads Saber Squadron, Mr. Geekdom of Star Wars.
Oh, no, I'm not that geeky.
I thought you knew that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was really good fun. Thoroughly enjoying the extra stuff they keep throwing, except the downside was that I'd hoping that the new release, Way Forward, would be out by now, and it's not been put back till June.
I think that really is the only problem with X-Wing, in that the releases are, shall we say, gentle.
Haphazard.
However, that is almost a positive as well, because I've got a main game in War Machine, and there's a lot of stuff for that, and it keeps on going, and there's stuff all the time. And then every so often you kind of walk in and go, oh, there's a new X-Wing. Oh, how do I... Okay, so that's £20 to be fully up to date on this expansion. Excellent, we shall have those.
True.
So... yeah, I mean, the Imperial Aces are the same casts as the older TIE Advances. Not TIE Advances.
TIE Interceptors.
TIE Interceptors, yes, aren't they? Just with new colours.
It's got, yeah, red stripes on the side for Sabre Squadron, and you've got fully red ships for the Emperor's Guard. Mm. Or nearly fully red ships.
Yeah, I did have a quick look at the card you get with it, but I can't remember much off the top of my head. I'm sure that Dave will come down the club at some point, break out the new TIE Interceptors, and go, here is my new... You unhittable filth.
Have you seen the Rebel Aces?
Yeah, they look nice.
I'm looking very much forward to the prototype A-Wing in blue. There is also an add-on for those that if you don't take missiles, the A-Wing becomes 2 points cheaper, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it's minus 2 points to have no missiles on the A-Wing.
Yeah, which very often the A-Wing is kind of almost your filler craft anyway. So it's like, well, I'll put that on. It's 2 points cheaper, so now I can afford like a better add-on for it elsewhere.
You can afford Push the Limit.
Yeah, which is... I mean, it does create some interesting little scenarios there. So I shall be looking.
It is nearly free Push the Limit, isn't it? Push the Limit takes 3 points. It's like, yeah, ouch.
So, well, when you're juggling those last sort of 5-10 points, it's nice to kind of go, and here's an extra two. So,
or four if you're throwing two of them in like that, yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. Anyway, I think it is about time to wrap up the show. So, I will not hand over to Alex because he's not here. You've been listening to Elite Cadre, the general wargaming podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
And I've been Nick.
Oh.
It's good standing.
It's good. Goodbye, Nick.
Not drawing in a fire, I feel, but there we go.
Good night.
Good night. There we go. That was an episode.
Yay!
Listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. Email us at elitecadrepodcast@gmail.com. Find the whole team on Twitter at bit.ly/elitecadre. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/elitecadre. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. This podcast is part of the Muse on Minis network. Find out more at museonminis.com.